Hello, today I'm going to talk about our recent work about how to improve the security in the cloud. Cloud computing is a major trend in the IT industry. Cloud providers such as Amazon and Microsoft offer computing resources on demand to multiple tenants. This has many benefits. It is public, so anyone can use it. It has an economies of scale, so it can lower cost. It uses a pay-as-you-go model, so it provides more flexibility. Virtualization is one of the key technologies behind cloud computing. With server virtualization, cloud providers are able to run multiple virtual machines on the same server. In this way, they can make efficient use of server resources and also provide backward compatibility. Then KVM and VMware are some of the popular virtualization software being used today. Besides server virtualization, nowadays, cloud providers increasingly rely on software switches to virtualize the underlying network. Software switches often run in the hypervisor or in the control VM. They can provide very flexible control at the edge, such as access control, resource and namespace isolation, and efficient communication between co-located VMs. Open vSwitch, VMware's vSwitch, and Cisco's Nexus 1000 vSwitch are some examples of popular software switches. However, despite so many benefits cloud computing can provide, security is one of the major concerns that impedes customers from moving to the cloud. Let's take a closer look at where the vulnerabilities are. Server virtualization enables several virtual machines run on the same server. However, the hypervisor layer today is quite complex, which forms a very large trusted computing base. For example, the Xen hypervisor has more than 200 key lines of code. With such a large amount of code, bugs are inevitable, as evidenced by NIST National Vulnerability Database. A malicious customer can exploit these bugs to attack the hypervisor, so as either access or obstruct other guest VMs. Not only server virtualization, network virtualization also introduces vulnerabilities. This figure shows how Xen does network virtualization. In Xen, a software switch runs in domain 0. And in each guest VM, there is a virtual Ethernet interface, which is connected to the software switch in domain 0. The communication between the virtual Ethernet interface in guest VM and the software switch in domain 0 requires the hypervisor involvement. In this architecture, the software switch is closely coupled with domain 0. This is very dangerous because a malicious customer can attack the software switch. Since the software switch often runs in kernel space in order to achieve high performance, so if the software switch crashes, it can cause domain 0 to crash, which can lead to a disaster for the whole system. There are several approaches trying to deal with these security problems in the cloud. One approach is called domain 0 disaggregation. The core idea of domain 0 disaggregation is to disaggregate the control VM into smaller, single-purpose, and independent components. As shown in the figure, domain 0 is disaggregated into several service VMs. In this way, even one service VM crashes, it can only cause very limited damage to the whole system. Other service VM can still run and provide their services. It is also easy for the whole system to reboot a new service VM to replace this compromised service VM. However, in this architecture, the hypervisor layer still exists. So it is still possible for a malicious customer to attack the hypervisor. So as either to attack the guest VMs or the service VMs. The second approach tries to deal with the security problem in the hypervisor. NoHap is one of recent progress in this direction. NoHap eliminates the hypervisor attack surface by totally removing the hypervisor layer. In NoHap, hypervisor is only used to boot up and shut down new guest VMs. It pre-allocates memory resources and processor cores and only use hardware virtualized I/O devices. So in the runtime, there is no interaction between guest VMs and the hypervisor. In NoHap, all guest VMs directly talk to the underlying hardware. So what if we want to use a software switch in order to take the full advantage of network virtualization? In NoHap, software switching is only possible by bouncing packets through the physical NIC. It has to create a separate guest VM which runs the software switch. Then if guest VM1 wants to send a packet to guest VM3, the packet should be first sent to the physical NIC, which then sends this packet to the software switch in guest VM2. Then the software switch processes this packet and knows that the destination is guest VM3, which is on the same server. But it is impossible for the software switch to directly send this packet to guest VM3 by shared memory. It has to send this packet to the physical NIC again. Then the physical NIC finally sends this packet to guest VM3. In this way, a packet sent from guest VM1 to guest VM3 has to traverse the PCI bus and the physical NIC four times, which consumes excessive bandwidth. This is not scalable nor efficient. So we provide a solution which eliminates the hypervisor attack surface while still enabling software switching in an efficient way. First, we eliminate the hypervisor guest interaction. So let's recall how Xen does network virtualization. In Xen, the software switch runs in domain 0. And in each guest VM, there is a virtual Ethernet interface. And the communication between the virtual Ethernet interface in guest VM1 and the software switch in domain 0 requires the hypervisor involvement. We eliminate this hypervisor involvement by using dedicated shared memory region. In this shared memory region, there are two FIFO buffers, each of which is used for communication in one direction. Since we don't want to involve the hypervisor in the communication, so we cannot rely on any interrupts or event channels provided by the hypervisor. Therefore, both the guest VM and the software switch use polling to detect the incoming packets. Then we try to limit the damage from a compromised switch. As we have discussed just now, the coupling between the software switch and the domain zero is very dangerous because the software switch often runs in the kernel space. So if the software switch crashes, it can cause the domain zero to crash, which can lead to a disaster for the whole system. So we decouple the software switch from domain zero by introduce a new domain called switch domain. This switch domain runs the software switch in its kernel space. In this way, even the software switch crashes, it can only cause domain S to crash. It won't influence domain zero. Furthermore, we borrow the idea of no-hap to decouple the whole system from the hypervisor. So in this architecture, hypervisor is only used to create guest VMs and switch domain. In the runtime, there is no interaction between guest VM, the switch domain, and the hypervisor. In this way, a malicious customer has no way to attack the hypervisor. We implemented a prototype based on Xen, Linux, and OpenVSwitch. Xen is used to boot up and shut down virtual machines. And we implemented two kernel modules, one kernel module in guest VM and the other kernel module in domain S. These kernel modules are used to create the shared memory region during initialization. And during the runtime, these kernel modules frequently post this shared memory region to detect incoming packets. We did some preliminary evaluation. We evaluated the throughput between the switch domain and a guest VM. We also compared the performance of our system with native Xen. We use NetPerf to measure the system's throughput. For each virtual machine, we configure it with one processor core and 1 GB of memory. First, we evaluate the impact of buffer size and pooling period on throughput. The first figure shows the relationship between buffer pages and throughput. When the system uses more buffer pages, it achieves high throughput. And we can see that with only 256 buffer pages, the system can already achieve very high throughput, which is only about 1 MB of memory. This means even for high performance, our system does not consume too much memory resources. The second figure shows the relationship between polling period and throughput. When the system polls more frequently, it achieves higher throughput. However, when the system polls more frequently, it also consumes more CPU resources. So there is a trade-off between performance and resource consumption. Further exploration in this trade-off is part of our future work. We also compared the performance of our system with that of native Xen. From the figure, we can see that when the message size is smaller than 8 KB, our system outperforms native Xen. This is because in native Xen, the communication between the guest VM and the software switch introduces many transitions between guest virtual machines and the hypervisor. These transitions have some overhead. But our system only uses dedicated shared memory and uses pooling to detect incoming packets. So our system doesn't have this kind of transition overhead. This is why our system has better performance. But when the message size is bigger than 8 KB, then outperforms our system. This is because Wanzhen has already incorporated some optimization in its communication. So when the message size is bigger than 8 kilobytes, the advantage of this optimization becomes obvious. So in the future, we plan to incorporate some more optimization in our system in order to improve our system's performance. In conclusion, there is a trend towards software switching in the cloud. However, security in the hypervisor and the domain zero is still one of the major concerns that impedes customers from moving to the cloud. We improve the system security by totally eliminating the hypervisor attack service while still enabling software switching in an efficient way. For the future work, since our system, a malicious customer is still able to attack the switch domain and compromise it. So we plan to further explore how to detect and remediate this kind of domain as compromise. Thanks. Any questions?
Thank you for a nice presentation. I'd like to know the trade-off between the current hypervisor-based networking and your new solution. What is the weak point of your solution? What is your weak point?
In what ways are you worse than the previous approaches?
Mm-hmm. You mean which approach? You mean in native Zen?
I'd like to know the weak point of your solution.
Oh, you mean the weak point?
Of course, I can understand that your solution is good for the performance, that's the smaller message size.
Yes,
I can
yes.
understand that. However,
all
solution has some weak point. So I'd like to know to understand that advance.
So actually, in our system, for the performance, you can see that when the message size is bigger than 8 kilobytes, native Zen still outperforms our system. But this is because Zen has already done some optimization. So we, in the future, we plan to incorporate this optimization and then compare the performance of our system with native Zen to see whether our performance is still better than native Zen. Yeah.
OK, couple of very brief.
Do you have any graphs showing this the performance impact of, I mean, the CPU utilization of pooling versus the native Zen approach?
Oh, yes. So currently, we haven't done this kind of evaluation yet. So in the future, we plan to explore this kind of overhead. Yeah.
So my question is, the communication between DOM-S and DOM-U is based upon shared memory.
Yes.
Have you compared your performance with other, like Zen socket or Zen loopback? Seems they also using shared memory to faster the communication between to DOM-U.
Yes, I think, yeah. We use similar approach. I mean, we both use shared memory, but in our system, we use polling to detect the incoming packets. But in their system, I think they use some event channels provided by the hypervisor. So, but currently, we haven't done this kind of experiments yet.
Do you have any specific reason to choose polling instead of the event channel?
Oh, because we do not want to involve hypervisor in the communication. We want to improve the security.
Okay.